happy, happy, happy. So I'm obviously going to preach on happiness, and I show up at the church yesterday, you know, and I see the plants that I planted on the side and the front, and you know, it really looks nice, and people come by, and they compliment, they say, oh, it looks so nice, really did a beautiful job there. A lot of people do. Daisy, didn't you say that? Daisy, Sister Daisy, raise your hand. Sister Daisy was a person I met just walking by here, and she serves and blesses and ministers right next door, right, and other places, and she's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And when I talk to her, it makes me what? Yeah. Amen. I hope I do the same for you. I hope. She's a wonderful, wonderful lady. Praise the Lord. But anyway, when I showed up yesterday, my plants. I show up, and it's obvious someone has been sleeping or doing whatever, sitting in the planter. And not only that, like they took their knife and cut one of the like, it's like an aloe vera, and just like cut one of the big old beautiful, you know, leaves on, just like that, and just threw it down and just was tearing up the plants. And I was like, I'm like not happy. And I'm thinking, I got to preach on happiness tomorrow. But I am not happy. I am not happy at all. Now, I could go buy another plant and fix it. It's like take maybe a little bit of my time. But it's the principle. It's the principle. It's a nice area, it looks good, and someone comes along and has no care, no concern for it, and stepping on the plants. You know, you can walk around a plant. Oh no, you got to step in the center of the plant where you crush the branches coming out, and the, you know, you lose foliage, it dies. And you think, not happy. You ever have days like that? Ever have situations like that where people just, you know, cause you not to be happy? And you know what? There's terrible things that can happen in life. And I suppose a plant or two or three that got messed up maybe is not that big of a deal. But it was a big deal because of the heart investment and what I wanted to see there and how beautiful I want it to look. And so when that someone messes that up, it takes away my joy. And so somehow I have to work with that and overcome it so that I don't let that destroy my spirit. I want to be happy. I want to eat, spit, and be happy. I'll get to that part, okay? You'll understand it a little later on. Hey, did you love the music? Did you love the words, the lyrics? Oh my gosh, so beautiful. I mean, so incredible. I love when you have a theme, you have a thought, and then the musicians select music, and all these lyrics just come raining down upon us and make us feel, hey, the title's up there. Eat, spit, and be happy. Thank you so much. I'm so happy. That makes me so happy. Amen. Okay, well, let's get back to it. Anyway, what was I saying before I saw the sign? Oh, the worship. I mean, it's all I can do to hold myself together. I'm seriously moved by the music. I'm seriously moved by all the thoughts and contemplations of his faithfulness. And that song that we used to sing so long ago that's so pertinent, relevant to today's message, it says, in my heart there rings a melody, amen? There rings a melody of love. I just like that song. It's like a circus. It's so fun, you know? And we kind of lose sight of that. But yet we can have so much joy. I have the joy, where? Down in my heart, where? Down in my heart, where? Down in my, I have the peace that passes understanding down in my heart, right? Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy, right? And we sing these songs, and yet sometimes in our Christian lives, we're just kind of blah, blah. We ought to have joy unspeakable. That's a song. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Now that we have the Lord, Psalm 36, we can turn there. Psalm 36, if you're not already there. Daisy, thank you for coming today. You just blessed my heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 36 and verse 5. It says, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. You know, sometimes we wrestle with how good God is. And I think that's a great expression, isn't it? Your loving kindness is so vast, so large, so broad. How high are the heavens, folks? How high? We don't know. I mean, the heavens just extend, extend, extend. The universe just expanding, expanding. And so this writer is saying, God is so good. Your loving kindness is incredible. Now, I think there's two things that we want to experience in life that contribute to our happiness. Love. We want to be loved. Do you like to be loved? Yeah. I want to feel love. I want to know love. I want to know God's love. And the other thing is kindness. Kindness is so good. Kindness is so wonderful. It will change your day if someone is just wonderfully kind. When I go to the DMV or place like that, sometimes you could lose your mind in a place like that because you have a long wait and sometimes it doesn't seem like people want to help you. Or when I used to go visit in jail, sometimes the people, what do you call those guys? Correctional officers. When you go there and I'm a pastor and I try to get in and they treat me like dirt and I'm just like, I just come here to encourage someone, to pray with someone, to do the Lord's work, and to make it so difficult. And so you almost come poised like, okay, I'm ready for battle. I know what I'm going to see it find today, and this is okay. I know what to expect. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you get somebody who's so kind. How you doing, sir? How's everything? How can we help you today? And I'm going, shock. I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody nice. Loving kindness extends to the heavens. We have to have perspective, do we not? We have to know the fullness of God's love. He's so good, he's so kind, he's so loving, and we could add and add and add about all of his attributes that he does. Now, do we have opposers that mess things up? Yes, but we can still rejoice. All right, so let's look, follow that passage again. Verse 5, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God's. Your judgments are like a great deep. So why is the psalmist looking outside of himself? And this is very important. If we're going to find happiness, you just always can't find it within because circumstances and our own thought patterns will overwhelm us. We have to look beyond and we need to look to God and think about all of his attributes because we are made in the image of God. Praise the Lord. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our keeper. He is our supply. So if we just look to ourselves and we're in control of our lives, in control of our destiny, I think that's probably one of the most miserable existences because of self-reliance. I would rather trust in the living God. You know, my friends, some of them are late 50s and 60s and 70. I'm talking about people that I know outside of the church. And they're already talking about dying. You know, they're saying, you know, I don't know how much longer I have, but I'm thinking, you know, that I want to get things ready. I want to do this. I want to go visit my family. There's some things I want to, you know, I talked to a friend of mine about his funeral arrangements. And there's nothing really wrong with him, but he's thinking about already about that time. Our lives are brief, are they not? Our lives, even, you know, 80, 90 years, it's gone like that. And we have to face eternity. And I want to face eternity not as a gamble, but I want to face eternity knowing that God is, knowing that God made me, knowing that God made all this, and that if he did so, and he's loving and he's kind, he has a place and a destiny and an inheritance for us. I want to look to that. Amen. I want to be ready, and I want to receive glory. I want to receive what's ahead. I told you before, a few weeks ago, I said, well, if this is heaven, I don't want to go there. Now, that sounds funny because we are to be happy in this life, but it's mingled, it's mixed with trials and trouble and pain and sorrow and sickness and loss. It's mingled, like our brother was talking about the shootings that takes place. Life can be interrupted, you know, so fast, so quick. Tragedy, loss, you know, violence, whatever it is. So our focus needs to be on something higher. you know, David was a person who understood tragedy. He was a person who understood people coming against him. I mean, he understood a lot of things about life, but his focus had to be on God, for he was a man after God's own heart. In verse 6 again, it says, your righteousness is like the mountain of God, and your judgments are like a great deep. So he's going both directions. Oh, Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. That's a beautiful place. Under the shadow of your wings. Now, we are pretty independent people. But if you think about that imagery, if God was like a bird with these great and wonderful wings, and we were nestled up under his wings, would you feel safe? Would you feel secure? Would you feel comfortable? Absolutely. But you see, as independent people, you know, and self-made people, we tend to be just self-reliant, and I can do this, I can make it, I'm okay, you know, I'll dig out of this mess. Listen, trust in God, lean upon him, rely upon him. Don't rely on yourself because the arm of flesh will fail you, even your own. And so I like verse 8 too. It says, they drink their fill of the abundance of your house. You're in church today. It is a house of God. Can you drink from the well? Can you receive of God's goodness? Don't rely on the pastor. Rely upon God. When the musicians play, look to God. When the speaker speaks, look to God. Listen to the words, but look to God. A pastor can't fill you. A musician can't fill you, but God can fill you. Praise the Lord. Read it one more time. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. Praise the Lord. I have some property up in the Motherlode, up in the foothills. And I don't go there very often. I rarely go there. And it's on the South Fork of the Consumnes River. But you know what? Sometimes, like in the drought, it runs, it's like a trickle. I mean, it hardly runs at all. And you think about a river, but it's not running very good. But when it flows, it's so beautiful and so wonderful and so refreshing, and listening to the sound of the river coming through, wonderful, wonderful, beautiful. Think about that in regard to God, and the house of God and what we receive from him. You give them to drink of the river of your delights. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you think about happiness, I have some synonyms that I wrote down. How about this? Contentment. Pleasure. Satisfaction. Cheerfulness. Merriment. Gaiety. Joy. Joviality. Is that right? Gladness. Delight. Good spiritedness, lighthearted, well-being, exuberance, elation, blissfulness or bliss, jubilation. Wow, those are great words, are they not? Does that describe your life every day? Not when people step on my plants. No. I remember a few weeks back when I had just done some landscaping and planted the plants. And I showed up here one day, and someone had taken two big garbage bags of garbage, and they drug it from by 7-Eleven, and you could see the marks and the stains all the way down the sidewalk, and they drug it and put it right in my planter. You notice I call it my planter? It's God's. It's been his all along. But I'm emotionally invested. And here in the midst of it was garbage. And I'm just going. And so I had to take the garbage bags and drag them all the way back to 7-Eleven. And there wasn't any room in their garbage can, but I just put them in there. I made sure they were there because the garbage is not ours. But it sure interrupted my peace and contentment and elation and joy. I mean, it just messed with me. Things will mess with you. Oh, the DMV? You know, I mentioned that earlier. Well, they have a kiosk at Safeway in El Cerrito. I guess that's El Cerrito. And you can just walk in the door on the right-hand side, closest to San Pablo Avenue, and you put your renewal in there, and you put your debit card in there, and in 2 minutes, boom, you have your renewal, your tags, and the new registration. Isn't that good? Boy, that'll make a lot of people happy. It sure made me happy. Amen? You ever see people at the DMV? Everybody's like, hey, how you doing? Everybody having a wonderful time, you know? Want some cookies? Want some crackers? Hey, is it like that? Or is it like, not a happy place. So, praise God for things of convenience and glory and joy and what God does for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. Wow. The fountain of life. And in your light, we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Praise the Lord. How about let's turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Recipe for happiness. Psalm 37. A recipe for happiness. Let's start in verse 1. Don't fret because of evildoers. What? You got to be kidding me. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. You see, when someone does something wrong to us, we often take it in and we keep it. And we say, that person, that person, that person. And in this context, it's saying, it won't be forever. This will end. Wicked people will go away eventually, in time. Yes. In verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. We can get discouraged. We can say, I'm done. I'm tired. There's a term in church. It's a term that floats around, and it's called people who are dunners. And that means people who have been in church and, you know, they maybe paid their dues or they got hurt and you ask them about the things of the Lord or in church and they go, I'm done. I'm done. They're dunners. Trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. When you do something good, it makes you happy, doesn't it? Doing good makes you happy. It gives you purpose for life. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. What does your version say? The end of verse 3. Dwell in the land and what? What is it? Befriend. Cultivate, befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Anybody have needs? I have needs. I have needs. We all have needs. Things come upon us. But I love that. It's saying, be happy in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And what will happen? He will give you the desires of your heart. Just like seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. But we live life sometimes in frustration. We live lives in a state of angst. And we're like struggling and struggling and struggling, and we're not happy, and we're just all in knots. And God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to be happy. Amen. So I'm a kind of person that I can get upset. Have you ever seen me upset? I was pretty upset because it didn't have the title up there when I first came in, I'll tell you that much. But I could get upset. Ask Gail. She would know. I can get upset. And I can get accustomed to living in a way that's like, eh, ho-hum. I can just live that way. And I get used to it. But a couple weeks ago, I was confronted. I forget what the situation was. And I just thought, I think the Lord just gave it to me. Because I was going to teach at CR, and about 30 minutes before I left, the Lord, you know, basically impressed me that you need to be happy. Happy. And so I began to think about happiness for the last couple weeks. You probably can't tell the difference yet, but it's coming, okay? I want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Because His loving kindness extends to the heavens. And it goes to the depths. It's vast and broad. He's so faithful. And He is the one who governs me and watches over me. So I ought to be so happy. Man, absolutely. Delight yourself, verse 4. In the Lord. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Amen. Commit your way to the Lord. Your tomorrows. Your work. Peter has a great testimony about the fact that he had a business and he was an architect, but he didn't know the Lord. And so there was a point when Peter had to say, okay, God, this business is yours. What happened, Peter? When you gave your business to the Lord, when you committed your way to the Lord, what happened? What? He did well. He did well. He's being modest. God blessed his socks off. Amen? God blessed his socks off. Praise the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Woo, I like that, don't you? It can either be you or him. Oh, I'd like God to do it. Amen. Because he receives the glory, and I can say, whoa, you're a good God. That makes me happy. Makes me want to spit. Are we back to that, Pastor? Oh, my gosh. Okay. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. Sometimes we're burdened with our life, and we're burdened with who we are, and we're burdened with our failures, you know, and we just think, man, look at me, I'm like nothing. How could God even look at me? He's probably going to just hammer me. But he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. And here's something we need to do. How about verse 7? Rest. 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 Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Is that hard to do? Pretty tough. Rest, wait patiently for him. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. And another point, don't be angry like I was yesterday. Don't be angry. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Cease, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. You know what happens when we take that anger and take that wrath and we don't abide in his faithfulness? We end up acting outside of our Christian character, do we not? We end up saying things that are not part of our Christian lives. We act and respond out of the flesh. Cease. Stop from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Now that we have his faithfulness and a recipe for happiness, now that we have one another, I'm glad for the body of Christ. I'm glad. Now, I don't know Daisy very well. We've talked maybe a couple times, a couple hours out front, just kind of talking about life and Christianity and church and service. You have a Bible study, do you not? A Bible study, a women's group, Daisy? Amen. How's that going? Good. And why do you do that? Amen. Amen. We should be happy because we have one another. We should always be rooting for one another. Amen. Encouraging and uplifting one another. Applauding grace coming to fruition of growth through faith. Now, we don't have a lot of time, so I want to invite who I think is probably one of the most happiest people in the church. I always pick on her. Pat. You wouldn't want... Now, look. It's very simple. You see her hand? She is just experiencing angst, anger, and probably rage momentarily. You see the finger? When the finger comes out, you pretty much know you're not in good graces anymore. But you know what? You're so happy. And it's an easy thing I want you to do. All I want you to do is read. You see? She's happy again. You just had to be patient and wait. And now you know. So you come up here. She's back to being angry again. Oh my gosh. Trust me. You'll be okay. You're just going to read like 10 words. That's it. And you don't even have to bring your Bible? Yeah, she's afraid again. Come, trust your pastor. Come. Give her a hand as she comes. Encourage her. Okay, don't give her a hand. Come on up, Pat. Come on up. You stick around the church long enough, and I'm going to make a spectacle of you too, okay? So do you have something to look forward to? Pat, you can come up here. Pat invited Gail and I to her house on Wednesday, and we had a good time at her house, and God is so good to her. Amen. And she's such a happy person. And so you're probably wondering, Pastor John, eat, spit, and be happy. Pastor John, you better bring this together. Okay. So I'm going to do that for you. But you got to help me. So I want you to read everything on this bag of sunflower seeds. Come here. You want to borrow mine? Start at the top. What's the name?
Oh, my goodness, David.
And what does it say?
Jumbo sunflower seeds.
So the packaging is like, you know, David. And then jumbo sunflower seeds. Yeah, see? Vanna White. She's turning into Vanna White. All right. And what else does it say?
Oh, it's roasted and salted.
Roasted and salted. And it says...
Original, all natural.
Original, all natural.
Oh, no, you little rascal.
And read the important part.
Eat, spit, and be happy.
Can you imagine? On your packages, this is marketing, and it says, eat, spit, and be happy. Oh, my gosh. There it is, in print. Yeah. Read it and weep. All right. Can we have communion now? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have one another. Thank you, Lord, that your faithfulness reaches to the heavens. Thank you, God, for music. Thank you, God, for prayer. Thank you. And now, Lord, as we enter into this portion of the service with communion, I pray, God, we might remember that in your word it says, who, that is Jesus, who for the joy set before him, in anticipation, you endured the cross, despising the shame. And you accomplished that for us because you saw the day when we would be filled with your goodness and changed by your power. So you had joy. Even on the night of your betrayal, it says you sang a hymn and then went out to the garden where you were betrayed. God, as we partake of the elements today, may we be reminded of Jesus and his joy in accomplishing our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.